The fact is that if you don't have your vision right, you can know the will of God, but if you can't see your way, you're in trouble. God's purpose then gives vision and direction to our life. Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. Let's continue on with this recent Wednesday night series entitled Revision. This is the second part from that series, Revision Part 2. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
I've never known a dead man to ever be tempted again with nicotine if he was a smoker. Because why? Because he's dead. You pick up 5, 6, 7, and 8, and you'll see the word reckon that Paul uses there, and he says, I reckon myself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto Christ. Some folks just die, and they don't move forward. God is not intent for you to have to just come to the cross every week. He wants you to come to the cross, lay your sins down, and then get up and live on purpose for Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come just to die. He came to die, but he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Well, I'm a Christian. Pastor said I got to stay in the narrow way. Well, you don't have to. You can go any way you want to. You can ride off-road if you want to, like a lot of believers are. And their life is like this. But if you want to accomplish something for the purpose and the plan of God, then you've got to stay and make the right choices based on the purpose of God for your life. How many of you see yourself going to heaven? Okay. Thank you for answering that. Because if you don't see yourself going to heaven, then anything can distract you between now and then. But because I see myself standing around the throne, because I see myself rejoicing with the angels in heaven, because I see myself standing with my loved ones who have gone on before, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to do anything between now and then purposefully to get out of that will to forfeit the plan and the destiny that God has for me to stand in heaven's portals. Are you with me? So the temptations that Satan offered were not worthy to be compared with Jesus making a decision to give in to the temptation with the glory that was in front of him. I asked you, what thing would you compare with missing heaven? What is so wonderful? A new car? A relationship? A house? Money? Paul said it's not worthy to be compared. So when you keep that vision in your mind, you make right choices based on your purpose. Next, Jesus' purpose influenced those with whom he spent time. In other words, it's not just about me making a choice for myself, but my life should be salt and light and influence the lives of people that are around me in the purpose and plan of God. He came to this earth for everybody, and he affected change so much is that we've gathered in this building here tonight to study about a man who walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. And we're still talking about him tonight. And I don't care what the devil does. All around this world, people are putting up trees and manger scenes and everything else and giving gifts to people and celebrating the Christ of Christmas. I'm telling you, Christmas and Easter are definitely the devil's holiday. He called all of his demons together a few days ago, and he said, hey, boys, y'all know what time of year it is. We're going to do everything we can, but when we get to that certain point and they start singing Joy to the World in those churches, we're going to have to get out. And we're already planning for next year. If I can tell you, if he's not upset about this Christmas, he's definitely going to be upset about Easter. Because when we're already planning for Easter next year, because Easter happens to fall on April Fool's Day. And I'm going to have a heyday beating hell up over that one right there. Come on, somebody. Oh, didn't Jesus fool them all when he got up from the grave and came out alive? Listen, look at the prophetic significance of the child being born in the manger. And then God gives a vision by the angel to Joseph and says, take the baby, flee into Egypt. And they stayed there until Herod, the baby killer, was dead. And then the Spirit of God says, now it's safe for you to come back. How many of you know God will lead you in the paths of righteousness right there? I love that, don't you? How's your life influencing other people? Listen, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he had he was vertically challenged. Bible said he was a wee little man, huh? At least Sunday school classes tell us that. He climbed up in the tree to see Jesus, and Jesus influenced him to such a degree that he went to his house. And listen, how do I know he was so influenced? Well, by the time Jesus got through sitting down and having a cup of coffee with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he was so convicted in his heart that he started writing checks back to people he had stole money from. How many of you know that's repentance right there? Because when you find out what the purpose and plan of God is for your life, you want to do whatever is necessary to make sure you get in that plan. Zacchaeus did that. Are you influencing lives of people with your life and lifestyle? I mean, do people hear more hollering than they do praising over at your house? Listen, the purpose of God is for us to influence the lives of people with what Jesus Christ has done inside of our life. And sometimes you get to win them to the Lord, and sometimes you just get to pour a little water on them. Sometimes you get to plant a seed. Come on now. Sometimes you're shopping in the mall and they come up to you, whatever it may be, and your next door neighbor, whatever it may be. I'm telling you, that is the purpose of God for your life. He's called us to be salt, and he's called us to be light. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Look at number four. Jesus allowed his purpose to determine his priorities. In other words, Jesus begins to tell them, there are certain things I will do and certain things I won't do in line with the purpose and plan of God for my life. Look at Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8, verse 31 says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders. Look at this. This is vision. Jesus already knew this. So he's relaying it to those that he's with to let them know, I can't just do anything. Let me give you a quick example right here. You recall Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because Judas's agenda and Jesus' agenda were two different agendas. Judas had a vision, Jesus had a vision. And the two became division. So Judas sold him out. Why? Because he said, now's the time to take over. And Jesus said, that's not my priority. I'm not here to take over the throne. I'm here to establish the kingdom. Come on, somebody. God is not interested in getting a little wooden gold-plated throne from Herod. God is going to bring his kingdom. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. When you're saying that, you're saying let the priorities of the kingdom of God be the priorities in this earth and in my life. Amen, are you with that? At the time, as the time of the Lord came closer, he starts talking to his disciples because the purpose for which he came was getting closer and closer to the time when he was going to give his life. And so he starts talking more in detail of the priorities of what I will and won't do. Okay? So there's a time in Jesus' life as he's coming right up close to the time of the crucifixion that he doesn't heal anybody anymore. He doesn't go on missions crusades, and he doesn't get on the boat and preach and open blinded eyes, because he sets his face, the Bible says, like a flint towards the cross. And now things start getting more narrow. Let me say it like this. When you're younger, like, okay, so you're 18, you're 24, you're whatever, and you wind up risking a whole lot more because you still feel like you've got some time to have a do-over just in case. But how many of you know, the older you get, have I got any takers in here? The older you get, I don't go bungee jumping anymore. That's not a, back in my 20s, that was a priority. But now in my 50s, bungee jumping is not on my bucket list. Come on, somebody. I used to ride motorcycles, but I don't do that no more, because that could hurt me. Come on. I used to, but my priorities begin to shrink. The closer you get to the call of God, the closer you get to your assignment, the more your priorities are going to narrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if you listen to everybody around you, if you're not careful, if you don't set your own priorities, they'll set them for you. Come on, let's go party. Oh, wait a minute. I did that when I was, and I remember what that was. And how many of you know nothing's changed there? All right. So the closer Jesus came to the cross, the more his priorities became more focused. Jesus began to talk about his death, and his followers got upset because he started showing them the priorities and started making decisions now where they were going to go, what they were going to do. Now they're not out there celebrating a marriage at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now they're at the end of his ministry, and they're going in to find us a place where we can get together and have communion together. Right? Find us a place. We're going to go to the garden now. We're going to pray, and I'm going to take all of you with me, but I'm going to take these three, and we're going to go a little further because my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he could not, they had a hard time wrapping their mind around that. Just like your friends and even some of your family might whenever you set your mind to follow the purpose of God for your life. I still have people look at me and say, "You, a preacher?" Because they knew me back then. Come on now. Even his closest friend, Peter, rebukes Jesus for saying he's going to the cross. Wait a minute, that's the whole reason I came, Pete. I'm about to leave this thing and leave it in your hands. Don't miss the purpose for which I've called you. Jesus could not and would not allow even his closest friend to stand between him and going to the cross, the purpose for which he came. He didn't come to serve Peter's desire or Judas's desire. He came to do the will of his Father. I'm going to ask you, are you alive right now to do the will of your Father? You better figure out what that is and what your destiny is. And you have to be careful. Let me insert something right here. You have to be careful to connect with those who can appreciate your history in order to understand and appreciate your destiny. Some people will take it for granted because they don't know where you've been. And so when you start praising God so radically and dancing before the Lord and weeping at the sound of his name, and they look at you like you're crazy, you say, "Hey, if you knew where I was and what God has done for me in my life, you would mock me in my praise right now because I'm going somewhere. God brought me out of all that mess and brought me into my destiny. And so don't mock my praise now because I praise him on purpose and with a purpose."
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.